And welcome to the What's New in System Center 2012 R2 Jumpstart. I'm Simon Perryman. I'm joined right now with Kenan Owens, and we're going to have a variety of guests throughout the day to really show you what's new as part of our cloud operating system. So as we go through the course today, you're going to see seven different categories. First of all, we're going to start off by giving you our vision of what is Microsoft's next step towards the cloud. What is the vision of the cloud operating system? Ken is then going to spend some time with me covering our infrastructure provisioning. So looking at primarily Virtual Machine Manager and how we can use that to go and configure and deploy our compute, network, storage, and basically that core infrastructure that we're going to build everything on top of. After that, Juan's going to join me, and we're going to take a look at infrastructure monitoring as well as application monitoring. So after we've configured our infrastructure, how do we keep it healthy? And then how do we keep those virtual machines and applications running on that infrastructure healthy? After that, Brandon's going to join me. We're going to take a look at automation and self-service with System Center Orchestrator and Service Manager, and then spend a little longer focusing on IT service management. Finally, Bradley's going to join us in the studio, along with Kenan again, and we're going to take a look at the Windows Azure Pack that allows us to deliver Windows Azure-like services on our System Center, Windows Server, private cloud infrastructure. Now, for the goals of the Jumpstart, we really want to focus on these five main capabilities with our infrastructure monitoring and provisioning, automation and self-service, IT service management, and application monitoring. Across the day, you're going to see tighter integration with Windows Server 2012 R2. So essentially, all of these new enhancements and capabilities that you're seeing with the core Windows Server operating system, you're going to see us be able to leverage these with our management system using System Center 2012 R2. Finally, you're going to learn how Microsoft's Cloud OS covers both our hybrid cloud storage, spanning our public, private, and third-party customer clouds. Now, to set some expectations throughout the course, this is going to be somewhat advanced. This isn't necessarily a basic introduction to what is System Center, but we're really trying to show you some great scenarios and capabilities that are coming out with our latest release. So having a good working knowledge of System Center 2012 is going to be very helpful. Some basic knowledge of Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V virtualization are certainly going to help as well. Now, if you need some additional learning resources as part of this event, check out Microsoft Learning. Download our products and try them out yourself at the TechNet Eval Center, or actually get a hands-on lab experience with our TechNet Virtual Labs. But for some more in-depth training, check out the Microsoft Virtual Academy at www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com. This is free online training covering a variety of Microsoft products, Server, System Center, Azure, and even a lot of developer products. So a great way for you to kind of start to familiarize yourself and get some additional context. Now, if you enter this code that you see on the screen, SysCenter2012R2, you're actually going to get 50 MVA points just for attending this event. Now, what's going to happen is about 1 to 2 weeks after this live event, this course will be published on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So if you want to go back or if you want to refer this to your colleagues, check out the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Also visit it for future jumpstarts and other upcoming events that we have. Now, let's jump back to the presentation. This very first module, we're going to be giving you the overview of the Cloud OS. But before that, let us quickly introduce ourselves as well. I'm Simon Perryman, a senior technical evangelist with Microsoft, focusing on private cloud, virtualization, and System Center technologies. I've got my Microsoft Private Cloud certifications, of course. Gotta love the Microsoft Private Cloud. Also VMware certified. And prior to this role, I spent about 4 years actually on the engineering team building a lot of these products. I'm now gonna turn it over to Kenan and let him introduce himself.
Thanks, Simon. My name is Kenan Owens. I'm a senior product marketing manager here at Microsoft. And I've been focusing on Windows Server and System Center and how all of those products work together and give you that breadth of experience for managing your clouds on-premises as well as at hosters or Windows Azure. Before Microsoft, I've been here now for 4 years. I was at a virtualization company for 10 years before that, so I got my teeth in virtualization, really realized that management of the virtualization infrastructure and your entire infrastructure is the important piece. And so that's why I came to Microsoft, and that's why I've been working what I'm doing now.
Excellent. Thanks, Kenan. So let's quickly review what we're going to be covering as part of this first module then.
Okay, great. For the first module, we're really just going to give a quick breadth as far as what is the CloudOS? Just a quick overview so that we can get everybody up on the same page. And then after we do that, we're going to go into each of the different capabilities that you talked about really quickly, give a quick introduction so that you're primed and ready for the rest of the day.
Excellent. Well, let's take it away. So, Kenan, tell us, what is the CloudOS?
All right. Thanks a lot, Simon. Well, as you may have heard at both our MMS events and the TechEd events that we've had, the CloudOS is really the way we've been talking about how Windows Server, System Center, and all of the different clouds that are out there, both on-premises, public, as well as your service providers, work together to provide this consistent platform for an organization to run their data centers. Whether they want to use everything on-premises, they want to talk to their service provider and run virtual machines out there, or they want to put workloads up inside of Windows Azure, they really want this consistent platform. And Windows and Microsoft provides this ability to span all of those clouds and provides the capability for you to transform your data center into something that can handle and run these workloads across all these different clouds. We empower this people-centric IT, or the ability for organizations to allow their customers to bring in whatever devices they want to use and use those devices, whether they're on-premises, they're at home, or whatever. Where it really comes into play is that if you look at an organization, it's all about the data. There's lots and lots of data out there, and it's growing rapidly. And being able to pull all of your data together, both on-premises as well as use external data that's out there and gain business insights and pull that together, that's another key capability of the CloudOS. And then enable these modern type applications. People are very social, and they work around and they want to use whatever device they have, and to be able to run the application that shows them what they need, where they need it, is very important. And so bringing all those things together, System Center really helps drive that by being able to manage across these different clouds and being able to give you a consistent view of how my workload is performing, whether it's on-premises, whether it's at my service provider, or whether it's up in Windows Azure. So we'll pull it all together, and that way the CloudOS gives us a reason to do that.
Now, you mentioned service provider a few times. Sure. Can you help us define exactly what do we mean by a service provider?
Absolutely. So a service provider is not is when you contract out with a hoster or something like that, where they're going to provide you the ability to buy virtual machines that you then connect into your network and combine those things together to just extend your data center outside of your four walls. I talk about service provider, I talk about Windows Azure. So Windows Azure being a public cloud is something that you would connect to, and they have just massive amounts of resources all over the world. Your service provider could be just a hoster that's down the street. It could be a global hoster. It really all depends on what you need, but it's that other organization that you use to get those Windows servers.
Yeah, I think the key concept here is, you know, we're no longer restricted by the boundaries of your own data center.
Exactly.
You can scale out to the public cloud, you can scale out to these third-party hosters. And I mean, as far as those technologies you said that span across them, I mean, let's quickly cover them. You know, development, we have Visual Studio 2012,
exactly.
Team Foundation Service. So your developers are writing code, writing apps that can run across these different types of clouds.
Right, right.
We have management with System Center. So using the System Center 2012 products, you can deploy VMs across these clouds. You can monitor them with Operations Manager.
Exactly.
You can automate them with Orchestrator, regardless of where they're living. We have data, so this is using SQL Server 2012 and our SQL Analytics servers, mm-hmm. collecting and aggregating this information across all these different clouds. Identity, using Active Directory, federated on-premise, federated into the cloud. Manage your identity and your user profiles regardless of where those VMs are hosted.
Exactly.
And finally, with virtualization, using Hyper-V to go and configure VMs, VHDs, run them on-premise, third-party, or run them up in the private cloud. And I think this is one of the big advantages Microsoft is really trying to emphasize here. You know, you have a consistent set of tools, you've probably been using a lot of these for a while, and you can continue using these as you go and scale up across these different cloud properties.
Exactly. We're not going to force you into going to one or the other or the other. We're going to allow you to move to whichever cloud you want to move to on your terms and in your time. So with that, what we've done is by using and leveraging all of these major massive services that we have, like Bing and Xbox Live and those types of things, we've been able to bring those learnings from running these massive data centers back into System Center so that we can help organizations create highly efficient managed environments where they can both, whether it's on-premise or on the hoster or service provider or Windows Azure, see and do things the same way. And so we've been able to learn how, you know, we can take all these different servers out there and pull them together to really lower the cost of management for your organizations and the people out there through things like policy-based automation, where we want to automate as much and as we can on everything, because of the fact that organizations, as they're running these systems in these data centers, they really come into economies of scale as they can grow and lessen the amount of users per server that they have to manage, or increase the amount of servers that they manage per administrator. They can really get the more out of it and become more efficient that way. They can lower that operational cost. And so we've been really able to take these learnings that we've found inside of Windows Azure, and we found running these massive data centers that we have, and pull that into and get these learnings from into System Center and Windows Server so that we can bring them to our customers on premises as well. So today you're going to cover all the sessions that Simon talked about, and we're going to focus on things like infrastructure provisioning, infrastructure monitoring, automation and self-service, application monitoring, and IT service management. So for the next few slides, I'm just going to go briefly and introduce each of these different topics, and then we'll be able to move into the actual jumpstart today.
So tell us, first of all, infrastructure provisioning. I know this is your focus area. What are the key points and the key highlights here?
Sure. So for infrastructure provisioning, what we're really focusing on is, how do I build on-premises that cloud environment? I got compute, I got storage, I got network resources. How do I pull them together and pull these resources together and provide them to my different business units within the organization? So I want to be able to effectively manage these virtual environments, whether it's a couple of servers or at massive scale. I want to reduce the complexity of my infrastructure, deliver the sufficient resources, and have one consistent platform for doing that.
Now, you know, you mentioned that the different business units here are essentially customers. Can you just help us draw a parallel between, you know, the difference between a public cloud and a private cloud, and who the customers are for each of those different, you know, usage cases?
Absolutely. So if you think about it, in an IT organization, whether you're big or small, you have customers, and that's everybody else that's using the resources that you provide. Well, in a lot of organizations, especially as you start growing and start having these multiple different business units, maybe a finance unit, sales, HR, maybe it's a development environment, production environment, to gain economies of scale and to really lower the operational costs, you almost want to treat each of these different business units as different separate customers.
They may have different requirements, right, as far as what type of performance or what type of availability needs
or they may need specific isolation. Like my finance department may want to never have any of its resources anywhere commingle with
sales. Compliance, for example,
right. Exactly. And so because of that, by treating all of these different business units as different customers, I'm really moving into what a service provider is doing today, where a service provider may have two different customers that are competitors 100%, but they're totally isolated, and the hoster can actually provide resources to both of them without having to worry about the fact that they know, you know, this one customer is not going to be able to see the resources of the other one. As an IT organization internally, I may want to do the same thing. So I have the ability to do that, and Windows Server and System Center 2012 R2 really helps me provide the isolation capability and to be able to treat my infrastructure as basically a service provider would. The other thing is, it's much easier for me as a service provider to provide basically offerings, different layers of resources, gold, silver, bronze, you know, small servers, medium servers, large servers, than it is to have one-off custom different types of servers for each customer request. And so by moving into more of that environment, I can more efficiently handle and predict how my resources are going to be used, when I'm going to run out of them, those types of things.
Now, based on what you said, you know, I kind of pull a couple key things up here. I heard you talk about, you know, automation, self-service, standardization. I mean, these are all key concepts of private cloud, regardless of whether you're talking about a Microsoft private cloud or anyone else's. These are all kind of the standard definitions.
Exactly.
So I guess, you know, kind of the key point here is, you know, we are looking at the concept of cloud, whether it's a public cloud and your customers are different, you know, organizations,
right,
or whether you're a private cloud and your customers are different business units. A lot of these benefits of moving towards a cloud model are consistent regardless of which of these different cloud models you have.
Exactly. And that's really how you're moving from just straight virtualization. I've created a bunch of virtual machines. I'm doing everything the same way I did before.
But a lot of manual steps, right? Every time a new customer wants a new VM, we pick up the phone and we speak to them. What do you need?
Exactly.
Trying to build this standardization, this automation, this efficiency into it. And I guess the end goal here is freeing up our IT department's time, right, so they can do more with less.
And they can do the right things for the organization instead of all the day-to-day mundane tasks where they're really not driving a lot of business value for their company. So we can help you do this by allowing you to effectively manage this large-scale virtualization environments at scale. Also, we can help reduce the infrastructure complexity of your environment, because by giving these different t-shirt sizes or whatever you want to call them, I now know how my infrastructure is going to perform. I know what types of resources I'm going to use. I can figure out when these resources are going to be fully utilized and be able to buy more so I don't run out of resources. I'll be able to deliver these infrastructures very efficiently and across a broad customer base, whether I'm a service provider and doing it for multiple customers, or I'm an IT organization and I'm doing it for just my internal resources, and then having this single tool for on-premises cloud provisioning. So I can manage my underlying network, compute, storage, resources, all from a single console. Now, when we move to infrastructure monitoring, once those resources have been delivered and are in place, I now need to ensure that my resources are performing appropriately. So I have to look at that underlying physical infrastructure and ensure that my customers are getting the SLAs and the resources that they need. And so to do this, I'm able to, with infrastructure monitoring with System Center 2012 R2, monitor these diverse environments, whether they're Windows or Linux or whatever, ensure that the physical and virtual cloud infrastructure is healthy and performing appropriately, and then be able to come back and fix any problems that may occur and ensure that these workloads are reliable and that when I deploy them, I'm going to maintain those SLAs.
And primarily, we're going to be using System Center Operations Manager to do that monitoring.
Exactly.
And what you're going to see is the great extensibility provided by System Center. So as we talk about the infrastructure, right, customers have a diverse infrastructure, right?
They do.
Different hardware, different storage, different networking. What I think is a great advantage of the Microsoft stack is the broad integration across all our partners. So regardless of what hardware you have, what software you have, we're going to be able to monitor it using either third-party or customizable management packs to ensure that everything's going to be performant. You know, what I kind of find funny is as we've kind of moved towards virtualization to reduce server sprawl, we now have VM sprawl.
We do.
We now have all of these VMs that are, you know, people mm-hmm. deploy. They think it's free because it's not using real hardware. And so we now have sprawl of that. Nice thing about infrastructure and our app monitoring, we're constantly detecting what's being used, what's not being used, so that we can take those unused VMs, add them back to our pool of resources, and kind of complete this end-to-end hardware mm-hmm. and software cycle.
But not only that, we take the fact that I may be not just running Microsoft workloads. So I may be running applications that are, you know, Windows or Linux underlying operating systems. I may be running applications on top of that, like your SQL Server, SharePoint, Exchange, those types of things. And being able to not only monitor the physical resources, but correlate with the operating system and the applications running on top and pulling all that together in an easy-to-view panel where I can say, this is having a problem, this is not, this is the way I should fix it, this is not. It makes it so much easier for an organization to keep the operations up and running. And we do that through the ability to monitor these diverse environments, whether it's Windows, Linux, through our partners, things like VMware. We can monitor those things and see how things are performing. We can ensure the health of our cloud, and if there is a problem, in fact, these management packs that you were talking about give me the ability to use the knowledge of the organization that created it or the knowledge of my internal organization to quickly find the solution and fix the problem that may occur. And then because of this knowledge and view of the performance, we can ensure that we're providing these resources to our customers in a reliable configuration. So the next one after that, besides looking at the infrastructure platform, we also need to really when we move to cloud is add in things like automation and self-service. So here, what we really want to do is we want to ensure that as people want to make requests, they don't have to keep phoning that IT guy. They can just simply go in and through a website or something like that, make a request. That request gets approved, whether manual or automated, and then it goes off and actually builds that automatically so that for a lot of those mundane day-to-day tasks, I don't have to do it. And System Center 2012 R2 helps deliver this by allowing you as an organization to empower your app owners to just make those requests while you retain control of what they do. So you can basically give them, you have the ability to deploy these five services, but you can deploy any one that you want and as many times as you want. I just now know that you're deploying something that I have in control. The other thing is that we have this ability that you can use this same automation methods, whether it's on-premises or in Windows Azure or I'm a service provider through these automation tools like Orchestrator. They allow me to do that no matter where it is located. And then because of that, customers can make requests and expand their resource needs and do all that stuff automatically without having to always be phoning you, the IT guy, just to ensure that this is going to be there and ready for you.
Yeah, again, you know, this goal is to free up your time so that you could essentially do more with less. So kind of, you know, a lot of people say, what are the best steps to go automate? They're like, I love this concept of automation. Where do I start? So we want you to start thinking about what are the repetitive tasks you do day to day? Is that onboarding new users? Is that patching clusters? Is that standard maintenance or fixing repairs? So as you kind of start to think, what do I regularly do? What do I do once a week, once a month? That's a great way to start thinking about what can I automate? Because generally, those are a standard series of tasks. You follow a knowledge base article, work from step 1 to 10. As long as there's a programmatic interface such as a script, API, function call, we're going to automate that. And so we'll certainly spend a long time on automation later. But before we get to that, let's cover IT service management.
Right. So in the order here, we're going to talk a little bit about application monitoring.
Okay. We'll jump back soon.
Yeah, we'll get to IT service management in 1 second. So here, we talked about monitoring the underlying infrastructure. But again, we want to monitor the applications that are running on top and pull those things all together. So with application monitoring, what we're really focusing on here is ensuring that those applications are performing correctly. Most applications are multiple different servers. Each of those different servers are talking together. You know, your app servers talking to your SQL servers, talking to your web server, those types of things. And being able to make sure that there isn't a problem, and if a problem is happening in the application, find out what it is. And if it's something that's wrong with the application code, to be able to pass that information with all the root cause information back to development. So we can ensure that the line of business application meets the service level agreements that you provide. We can also help in increasing that application lifecycle where we can create updates, deploy those updates more quickly to ensure that the resources will be available and that any problems found will be fixed as quickly as possible, which will give now your customers a better end user experience to run these Microsoft workloads. And then lastly, talking about IT service management, again, being able to fit in compliance with whatever regulatory agencies are out there, being able to integrate your people, process, and knowledge together to drive business value for your organization and to utilize your resources efficiently and make sure that you're meeting your SLAs. So with IT service management, we're going to enable easy publishing and consumption of your IT services for organizations to use, integrate with the people, process, and knowledge that you have on premises, as well as build in things like chargeback or utilization resource knowledge so that you can, as an organization, understand how your resources are being utilized and then be able to pass them back to your organization, whether it's through chargeback, showback, or at least justify, you know, that next server purchase or something like that.
Thanks. That was a great overview, but why don't we cover some of the System Center benefits now? What are the big values that we're adding for our customers here?
Yeah, so some of the big values that we have is the ability that we as System Center are one of the best of breed as far as management across Microsoft workloads, Windows Server, the Microsoft platform, as well as connecting with the other different resources like your physical servers, your other applications that are running out there, and pulling all those things together to give you one nice view of application health and performance and monitoring. we're able to support multiple different hypervisors, whether you're running Hyper-V, VMware, Citrix Zen Server. You can manage all of those from within the same existing console. It's a very easy way of deploying your cloud services. With VMM, I can manage my compute, storage, and network resources all from a centralized console, which now means that I have one platform I need to learn and use to be able to manage all these different things. We support some of the very new capabilities that Windows Server 2012 have come out with, especially things like, you know, storage spaces and Windows File Server, scale-up file server, and those types of things, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then the last thing is we understand with Microsoft that it's all about the application, how all those things pull together, and being able to really have that knowledge about things like .NET and Java applications and being able to determine how those applications are performing and getting them out to our customers to be able to more quickly diagnose problems, find out where those problems are, and then go and fix them. We think about it all from the CloudOS principle, which is not just your on-premises cloud, but also your service provider and Windows Azure, pulling all of those things together and being able, as an organization, to manage this environment from a consistent view, a consistent platform. That's really one of the major benefits of System Center 2012 and R2.
Excellent. Well, with that, we are going to go wrap up our first module here. We want to have you guys stay tuned because we're going to jump into the technical session coming up next. We have next session will be infrastructure provisioning, where we're going to spend some time really going through the details of deploying our fabric, network, storage, compute. We have a lot of demos coming up, a lot of technical depth. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 10 minutes with infrastructure provisioning. Thanks.